I've only got two pages of notes. If you know me well, that's a short message. Galatians chapter 3. Probably everyone here in your pocket or in your purse or somewhere, you've got some keys. And I look at my keys here. How many of you have a key and you have no idea what it goes to? I don't know, but I can't throw it away because you never know when you'll figure out what it goes to, right? But I do have a couple of keys here, and I got this key here with the little green tab on it, and this key will get me in the back door of the church. It'll get me in that door over here to the church, and what else will it get me into? Preschool, okay. All right, so that's a good key to have. The blue one, what is the blue one? It gets me into the classrooms over here, doesn't it? Okay, that's nice. And then that one gets me into my office. And let me see what else I've got here. I have no clue what that one gets me into. So someday maybe I'll find out. But anyway, I know something about this green key. And that is, this is the only key that will get me in that certain set of doors. If I try any other key, it won't work. I do have a little key here that opens the locks. And quite often on the gates, I'll have to open a lock. And I can try any other key, it won't open that lock. This is the key that works for those locks, this little key right here. And about once every 2 weeks, I forget, especially on Thursday mornings. On Wednesday nights when I go home, my keys are in my coat pocket. And so I hang my coat up, and I get in the car Thursday morning. I drive to church, and I get here, and I pull up, and I think, oh, my keys are in my coat pocket. And I can't get in the door. And I got to have that key to get me in the door. You think it's something about getting in a door here that's difficult. Think about the door to eternal life. And think of all the keys that people try. Human reasoning is greatly flawed, and it has the ability to get us in a lot of trouble. There are a lot of people that think, and we see this today, they think, it's been around forever, they think that something they do is going to open the door to eternal life. It's astounding how many people in the last year going door to door, when Brother Hickson and I go door to door, and virtually every Tuesday morning we go out, and I have talked to hundreds and hundreds of people. We were counting up the other day, we've had 21 pray since the first of the year. And I hope they all got saved, and I know some of them did. But we go to that door and we ask somebody, where are you going to spend eternity, heaven or hell? And they say, well, I hope, or I think, or I expect I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. And then we ask, what makes you say that? And I cringe because 9 times out of 10, the very next words are, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good person. Can you do something for me? I'm a pretty good person, they say. And folks, that's the wrong answer. Amen? The right answer is, somebody tell me. How do you know you have eternal life? What gives you any reason to think you have a right to step into God's presence and be accepted into heaven for all eternity? Okay, and Joanne, what did you say? Accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody help me. There's a word I'm looking for. Is it by works or something else? By faith. Amen? Now think about that. That's so simple. That's what the last half of Galatians chapter 3 is about. Remember in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. That little word, faith, F-A-I-T-H, 5 letters. What do we see here? Let me show you some things. And I haven't got nearly enough time to cover the whole chapter. That's okay. We got some good things to see as we have time. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12. You're going to see, beginning in this verse, all the way through the end of the chapter, 3 words that occur over and over and over. I'm jumping into the middle of a thought here, but we'll be okay. He says in Galatians 3:12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them, and what he means by doeth them is that keeps the law, that obeys the law, shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, I cannot take time to read the whole chapter. I'm going to pray and just show you a couple of things about faith and law that ought to be very encouraging to us. And let's have a word of prayer, and I'll try and make this make sense to you. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for the word of God. We know that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, tonight my prayer would be that each one here would get a blessing from this simple thought. And Lord, that we would see something here that would be useful and encouraging to us in our days ahead. God, help us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The key to salvation is faith, not works, not keeping the law. So often there is this confusing thing that happens in the life of a Christian, and that is that we begin to think that even though we're saved by faith, we're kept by doing something. The very same key that opens the door to salvation is important. It doesn't stop being important once you get saved. Folks, if you have to work to stay saved, you're saved by works. And if you can lose your salvation, God wasn't telling you the truth when he said he would give you eternal life. Because, folks, if it's not everlasting, it wasn't very eternal, was it? In the Galatians situation, and I have a hard time preaching Galatians to save people, because it just seems to me like this ought to all be so elementary to us. It's hard for me to find new encouraging things about this. But I remind myself, and I can remind you as well, folks, I was saved by faith. I am kept by faith. It is not what I do that maintains my salvation. It is what Christ did on the cross. Amen. It's something that can't be lost. You know, the devil spends a great deal of time trying to get saved people lost again. Not that they can be lost, but if he can get them to thinking that they're lost, then they think they can't do anything for God, and they spend their life spinning their wheels instead of doing something for Christ. When I was younger, it seemed awfully simple to me. You know, you get saved and you serve there are some things that we know that are important for us to do. We need to go soul winning. We need to be faithful to our church, support the ministries of our church. When our church has an activity, it is our responsibility, if it is possible, for us to participate in that. It's the same as a church meeting. And there are some things that when I was younger, I could make that checklist. Here's some things I need to do. But if I'm just following a checklist, I've really missed the point. The entire point, if I can say it this way, is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship began by faith, and it is maintained by faith. When I cannot see things, when I cannot see God answering prayer like I expect him to, or when I cannot see God doing things that I hope he would do, or prospering my ministry or my life, and we know God is the one that prospers us. If he doesn't do it, it doesn't do any good. When I can't see that, that's okay. Faith is still there, amen? Because when all else fails, I believe the word of God. God cannot fail me. I want to show you some things about faith, if I could, and just toss this in, and then we're going to have to stop. Look at verse 11. We'll call these the seven laws of faith or seven rules of faith from Galatians 3. That's a little extreme, but I'll try to hit these just in a few minutes and then tie it together and we'll be done. He says in verse 11 that no man, that's very absolute, is it not? That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. I used to be a member of a church in Garland, Texas. It's up in North Dallas, and the pastor's name there was Gary Coleman. And he used to joke around about the fact that there was also an actor that was a Gary Coleman. That wasn't him. He was short, but anyway, he was a fine man of God. And he had a plaque on his desk, and that plaque said, "The just shall live by faith." And I'll some of the day tell you how he got that. But anyway, That little simple thought right there, the just shall live by faith, it occurs in the Bible three times. This is one of the three. And when he says justified, I hope you understand justified is a term, it's a legal term, and what it means is you have been declared not guilty. When you stand before God one day and the question is, are you guilty or not guilty? The verdict has already been decided. You are not guilty if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith. And he says, the just, and that ties to that word justified. You are just if you have been justified. You are not guilty. You are innocent. You are blameless. There's nothing for you to be punished for. Christ took your sins upon him on the cross. Folks, Christ took our sins upon him on the cross, amen, and gave us his righteousness. And we were saved by faith, and there's that phrase, we live by faith. Folks, we live by faith, not by the law. That's how we stay where we are. Now, I could spend a lot of time on this one point. Let me just say one thing and I'll move on. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If the devil can get you out of the Bible, then he can, what's the word I want to use? He can reduce your faith. He can cause you to have less faith. He can make your faith shaky. And then at that point in time, he can affect your Christian life. You got to be in the Bible. That's what rejuvenates us and keeps us going. We live by faith. Number two, verse 12. The law is not of faith. That's an absolute statement in and of itself. If I said to you, I want to get into that back door, and I got a key ring here, and let's just say that the blue key is the law key. If I stick the blue key in the door back there, if it'll even go in, it won't open that door. Law will not save you. Amen? Law will not keep you saved. If I had a good works key on here and I put the good works key in the door, good works will not save you. If I had a baptism key on here and I put baptism in the door, baptism will not save you. Well, I'm focusing on law and faith here, but when I put faith in the door, faith opens the door. Law does not. And they are not the same by any means. Law is what you do. Faith is what Christ did. We are saved by faith. Faith is and law are contrary to one another. They are not the same. You cannot substitute one or the other. You know, there's a foolish idea going around right now. I've heard this said. I shake my head. By the way, I don't know if it's fake news or not, but the report is that in a recent meeting, the Presbyterian Church USA prayed to Allah and asked Allah to bless their meeting. They'll say, well, someone says, well, isn't that nice that they would recognize another religion? No, it's wicked because Allah is a God that doesn't have a son. You understand that, right? That when you hear the word Islam, the first thing that pops into my mind when I hear the word Islam is, oh, those are the folks that don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's a problem. What did the devil do when he tempted Christ? If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, three times, if thou be the Son of God. That's the question of the ages. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? And folks, he's the Son of God. Allah doesn't have a son. That's what the Muslim says. And so what I'm trying to tell you is this. When someone comes and says, well, I'm going to pray to Allah, you just blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's amazing today, where I'm back to where I started from, there's people, they'll tell you there's so many roads to heaven. Oh, you can go this way and get there. All these people over here that believe in Buddhism, you know, they're good people. They'll get there too. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm trying to be honest. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved except the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. And so when you say, all these keys will open the back door, Pastor, here, try it. See what happens. There's only one key that will open that door. It's the green key. There's only one thing that will get you into eternity. It's faith. Get you into heaven, I should say, and get you salvation. Law will not work. The law is not faith. Got to go fast. Number three, look at verse 14. I read verse 13 to go with it. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And it's beautiful how the Bible fits together. That's an Old Testament quote. When Christ hung on the cross, he took our curse upon himself. He became cursed for us to take the curse away from us. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That ought to excite you if you're a Gentile. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What an enormous statement. The promise of the Spirit. Jesus in John, in the last few chapters of John, before he was crucified, talked about the coming of the Comforter. And he said this. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. One of the very important things you need to understand is the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not separate. And the Lord Jesus Christ promised to come to us. And then we have three occasions in the Bible where the giving of the Spirit is documented. One on the day of Pentecost, another one to the Jews, a third to the Gentiles. In each case, they were accompanied by miraculous sign gifts. The people could clearly see there's a miracle taking place here. Something extraordinary is happening. And that's the promise of the Spirit. It wasn't just for the Jew. Praise God, He saved us too. And He gave us the Spirit too. Now, in the book of Acts, the receiving of the Spirit was a unique beginning. Then Romans makes it very clear. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. If you're saved, the Spirit lives in you. And by the way, you have all the Spirit you're ever going to get, all the Spirit you ever need. The question is not how much quantity of Spirit do you have. The question is how much control does the Spirit have in your life? And folks, Doc, God didn't create us as robots. He gave us the ability to resist and to grieve the Spirit and to quench the Spirit and withstand from what the Spirit desires. And the flesh lusts against the Spirit. What I'm trying to say to you is it is our desire and is command, I guess I'll say, that we should give the Spirit free rule and reign in our life. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says here in verse 14, the reason you received the Spirit was not because you kept the law. There wasn't a point in time in your life to where God said, oh, this person has been good enough, here's the Holy Spirit. When did anybody receive the Spirit? When they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's by faith. You see, the law keeps getting excluded. The law keeps getting set aside. What I do, how I behave, whether or not I comply, is pushed aside because I couldn't do enough to attain what Christ attained for me. Faith, it is what we live by. It is not law. It is how we receive the Spirit. Look at verse 22. He says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You know, the way you received the promise was not by keeping the law. God never said, keep the law well enough, because we can't keep it perfectly. We know that. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't be perfectly in accordance with the law. So God never said, well, okay, if you reach this certain point in obeying the law, here's what I'll do. I'll give you the promise of Jesus Christ. No, quite to the contrary. When we admitted the fact that we were sinners and we needed to be saved, by faith we accepted Christ in spite of and in forgiveness of all the times we broke the law, and that's when we received the promise. Again, you think of the key. The key to unlock the promise of salvation is faith. Faith, believing what God said, is a good definition, by the way. Verse 24, he says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, now watch this, that we might be justified by faith. Justified, there's that word again, made not guilty. I love this quote, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We contacted the bank today, and it was very, very easy. We sent them documentation, and they sent us $52,000, which we have to give somebody else. But still, that was nice. $52,000 is nice. And, you know, that money, when you look at our, if you looked at our general fund this morning, you would have seen about $13,000 in our general fund. And then now there is 52 plus 13, $65,000 in the general fund. About this time next week, it'll be back down to 13 again. But we were given credit for some money. It was given to our account. Now, you received justification in your account because of what your faith in what Christ did on the cross, not because of law. Law couldn't do that. Faith could. Two more and I'm done. Look at verse 23. He says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And look at verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now there that starts to be key. Remember in Galatia, if you weren't here before or if you forgot, the Galatians had received Christ as their Savior. But there was a religious element. It was a Jewish element. And the Jews had come in and said, well, you know, that's really nice that you've done that, but you need to keep the law. You need to add something to what you've already done. You need to keep the Jewish law, and that's how you're going to stay in God's good graces. And folks, Paul says, just to the contrary, the law is not your friend. The law is what condemned you. The one good thing, if you can say it, there's others, but that it did was it taught you that you needed to be saved. And faith is what saved us, not the law. Faith takes us out from under the law. And if faith saved you from the law, it keeps saving you from the law. Amen? Now that's hopefully very encouraging to you. Very last, and I'm done, look at verse 26. Now look at this. He says, ye, that's a plural there, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. When I was 3 days old, a doctor and a lawyer drove me across town and knocked on a door and gave me to my parents. They adopted me. And they said, here he is, papers have been signed, he is yours to take care of, and got in the car and drove off. And I became a child of Jim and Barbara Schaefer, who sadly later divorced. But anyway, there at that point in time, my parentage was finally established. Up until then, I had birth parents, but I didn't have legal parents. You were a child of the devil. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, one of my favorite verses, John 1:12, says this, as many as received him, to them gave he power. The word power there implies authority. To them gave he power, the right, you could say, gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, did you become a child of God because you finally got good enough? No. Do you stay a child of God because you stay good enough? No. It is by faith. I'm glad it's by faith. If God came to each of us and said, I expect works, and here is the list, and unless you accomplish all these things, I remember when I was younger, for a while I was in the Boy Scouts when I was little, and we had the little scout manual, and you had to do different things to earn these badges. And there were a handful of these young men. I was at that time probably 10 or 11 years old, 12 maybe, I can't remember. There were a handful of these young men, and they had what they called an Eagle Scout. Anybody here ever become an Eagle Scout? Wow, it was tough. I looked at that list of requirements, and I said to myself, there's no way I could ever do that. Well, folks, the list of requirements in the law is even worse than being an Eagle Scout. Amen. If God came to you and said, you have to do all this, and then you can have eternal life and be a child of God, none of us would make it. Aren't you glad it was faith? Amen. You got to thank God for that. He was gracious enough to send his son to die so that we could be saved by faith. Let's stand, if you would, please, with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Just for a moment, we're going to pray, and we'll be dismissed very shortly. With every head bowed and every eye closed, tonight,